Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. I've got a little cough. I hope it doesn't distract. You know, there's a lot of things that I love about preaching. There's a lot of things I love about bringing a message. There's a lot of things that I love about bringing a word. But there's one thing that I don't. That's when my lovely wife, Owen, maybe you can attest to this, points back at me and says, but you said. And so, you know, honestly, when I'm preaching and when I'm teaching, I am talking about myself. I find myself in the same places we all find ourselves. You know, that I am no exception. Mike is no exception. Owen is no exception. That we all have the same battles, you know, and we're all in this together. We're all the body of Christ. And we've been studying the book of James the last few weeks, and we're in chapter 2 right now. But I want to go back to the very beginning of James, because James does something right at the very beginning of his book that I think is not only interesting, but it is very important. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to go back to James 1. This is a letter from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. That in his introduction of who he is, though he is the brother of Jesus, he is the bishop of the churches in Jerusalem. He is the leader of those churches in Jerusalem. But he does not introduce himself as, you know, oh, by the way, did I fail to mention, I am the brother of Jesus. And also, in case you might inquire, I am also the leader of the church of Jerusalem. No, he tells us exactly what he wants us to know about him. He tells us about his credentials of who he is, and that he is a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he wants us to know who he is. That the other parts are a historical fact, but he wants to know us to know what makes him credible? What gives him authority? And his authority is from God, who loves him. And I believe in the inspired word of God. If you have your Bible, turn to James 2, 14 through 16. Or it's in your bulletin. Hear God's word for us this morning. So don't be misled, my brothers and sisters. Oh, let's start at 14. Where am I at? I'm in chapter 1, chapter 2. Here we go. Now this sounds more like it. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God, good for you. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed in God and counted him as a righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab, the prostitute, is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messages and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so faith is dead without good works. James calls it out, and he puts it out there for us. James was a marketing genius. He just happened to be born about 2,000 years too early. You know, he's saying, just do it. Just get out and do it. Don't just sit and rest on your faith. Get out and make something happen. Do something. Don't just sit there. Get out and make it work for you. James gives us a very practical view on our Christian walk. And sometimes it seems like there's some conflicts in the scripture between Paul's teachings and James' teachings. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, in Romans 3:28, we are made right through faith and not by obeying the law, which is true. You know, Paul teaches, and he teaches throughout his teachings, that by faith alone we are saved. And that's true. And we cannot argue with that, because it is at that point, at that moment, at that time, when we accept who Jesus Christ is, make him our Lord and Savior, and ask the Holy Spirit to reside within us, it is that point that we are saved. No question about it. But now, wait a minute, we've got this dude Paul coming along and kind of giving us some mixed messages. I mean, we call, you know, Paul's doctrine the doctrine of faith alone. While it's true, our salvation is complete at that time, and we give our lives to Christ and accept his death as the atoning sacrifice for the gift of grace. But it also does not say that we're to not do those things that God calls us to do. It doesn't say, he doesn't say, well, we're going to throw out the Ten Commandments, because those are old and they're done with. We're past that and we don't even have to worry about those anymore. That's not what he's saying here. We need to examine what God calls us to do and not get bogged down in the laws of the Pharisees. Because they had set up these actions, these works, these things that we had to do that would produce righteousness. That they had set up these laws, that this is where our righteousness comes from, that we do these things. Our righteousness comes only through the grace of God. I want to be really clear. Our righteousness comes only through the grace of God. While Paul's teachings concentrate on being justified with God through Christ, faith alone, James begins to talk about faith and works. That his teachings begin to concentrate out on how our faith is lived out every day. Who we are in the world today. How do we walk? How do we talk? What do we do? As an example of our faith in Christ. That express that justification. In James 2:14 through 17, right there at the very beginning. I should have left this open. There's something. He says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? That's a great question. So, I mean, is our faith? James questions their faith and calls their faith dead if it doesn't have any works attached to it. The question is not only critical for us today, but it was in the eye of the storm during that Protestant Reformation that swept through and divided the Christian church in the 16th century. When Martin Luther posted his thesis and he said, by faith alone. And the church at that time was like, They didn't like that. They didn't like what was going on in this Protestant Reformation, and what they would do is they would point directly at that scripture in James where he says, without faith, without works, your faith is dead. And they're saying, no, he's gone too far off the ranch here. It is about our works, and that we do need to do works. Some scholars say that we have this irreconcilable conflict between Paul and James on faith alone and faith and deeds. But I'm convinced that we really do not have a conflict here. What James is saying is this: if a person says he has faith, but he gives no outward evidence of that faith through righteous works are those works of God, not by man, his faith will not justify him. We are not saved by a profession of faith or a claim to faith. That it's not the words we say. It's the heart with which we say it. It is not just saying the words. It's not a magical chant that if I say these words then I'm saved, and then that's all there is to it. The genuine faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ is something between myself and my God in heaven. You know, no matter what my words say, you know, only God knows my heart. Only God knows your heart. God knows your heart better than you know your heart. And if we have made that commitment of faith, then we're changed. There is something different about us. And that faith has to be genuine before the grace of Christ's sacrifice will be imputed or granted to anybody. So saying just the words is not enough. It is the heart with which we say it and accepting who Christ is. And it's more than just saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, because as James points out, the demons believe and shudder. They're not saved. They can't be saved. They have another allegiance. But when we do that, our allegiance is to Christ alone for our salvation. And you can't just say that you have faith. When I was about 13 years old, I used to drive my brother-in-law's 1950 Chevrolet all over three or four counties where I used to live for nefarious reasons that we won't go into right now. But I, you know, if I was out driving, and I drove all over the place in that old 50 Chevy with him. And say I got pulled over. There weren't that many police out there at that time. But if I got pulled over, he would ask me for three things. What's he asked for? Come on, y'all been pulled over. Where's Cindy? Okay, three things he asked for. Driver's license, insurance, and registration, right? Three. Okay? Insurance and registration? Got that. But he says, now I want to see your proof of license. I was 13. I mean, I looked really young. I was really tiny then. And he would ask for my proof of my license. And I would say, hey, Mom, I'm in the driver's seat. I'm driving. You know, that ought to be enough. That's okay, right? No, he wants to see proof of it. Now listen, I'm not saying that when we go to heaven, we're going to stand before Peter and he's going to ask for proof. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying, for those that's around us, those people that see who we are and know who we are, that what we do in the world today is the proof of our faith to them, not to God in heaven. Because God, we've already reconciled that. But how do I, what does that have to do with where I walk and what I do in today? James is saying that genuine faith is an absolutely and necessarily yield the fruits of obedience and the works of righteousness. The works of righteousness, not the works of man, the works of God, the righteousness. That's where our righteousness comes from. Paul is saying that those works do not add to a person's justification because, buddy, it's a done deal right then. When you have honestly given your heart, it's a contract between you and God and it's done. And we don't have anything to show proof of that other than who we are and how we act and what we say. But James says that our actions do justify our claim for faith before the eyes of man. Those people that surround us, those people that hear those things that we say, they see the things that we do, the good, the bad, and the ugly, folks. They see it all. Our community sees it. Our family sees it. Our children see it. And I'm in it with you. Jesus is saying that a man is justified by God, by God's grace, and that his works are the proof that it surrounds him. But that his claim to faith is shown to be genuine, as he demonstrates the evidence of that claim of faith through works. You might ask the question, how do I get that conclusion? Paul says faith alone. James says faith and works, faith and deeds. Which is it? The Bible is to be taken as a whole. It is a revelation of who God is and what his will is in the world today. It's not to be parsed out in single sentences to prove a particular thing. That we need to understand who God is, what his purpose is, and then we can begin to see how this all begins to fit together. If you did that, if you took just a single scripture, you would think that in James, when he says, look after the orphans and the widows and the homeless, that's all I have to do. If that's all it takes, I do that and I can check that box. Or maybe there needs to be a list of things that shows my works. And then I'd be attached back again to the law. See, I think that we begin to kind of misunderstand sometimes some of the words that James is teaching us, yes, that we are justified by our faith. But if you have genuine faith, you are a changed person. And we're called to the plight of others by that love. Our love of others does not add to or enhance or justify our faith. James is pointing out that others, it's a characteristic of our faith. That if you do have faith, if you do love God, then it is not a qualifier, but it's a characteristic of faith. And we say, well, then is our faith merely a gate to heaven? Though that is true, I would answer with a no. Because when we're justified by faith, then there's this process that happens afterwards, this sanctifying grace that works throughout our lives, that God begins to work through us. We are in a constant change, a constant molding of the person that God wants us to be. Though we are perfect in God's eyes, we have some work to do here on earth. And I think that sometimes, I'm going to be kind of careful here, I think that sometimes we put too much emphasis on accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, I want to tread really lightly here. I think that's really important. But that we have lost the purpose of that commitment. We all have a great need for salvation. Because our works are not enough. God is very clear, he said, in perfect. Perfection is his expectation of us. And my works will never get there because I fail along the line. If you have a single minute failure, it's imperfect. That we have placed our need for a Savior of God's will for the world today. Yes, we have a great need for a Savior. We cannot do it on ourselves, but if it were any other way, we wouldn't need the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. We need to understand that by our need, we are allowed to join God in His kingdom building in His world today. That we are an instrument for the fulfillment of God's will and God's purpose in the world today. When God, through the Holy Spirit, instills the fruits of the Spirit in us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, it's not for our edification. It is to glorify God and to become a tool to build the kingdom of God here on earth. And out of our walking the walk and talking the talk, that God then begins to draw others into that loving relationship with Him. Listen, this may come as a shock to our ego, but God's plan is bigger than you or I singularly. But here is the beauty of God's divinity and His plan. That God's heart is that we would accept His grace and be a part of His plan and His will. It is by the grace of God that He allows us to fulfill His great commission. We're called into two things when we accept who Christ is. He gives us a great commission and a great commandment. The Great Commission, go into all the world making disciples. And love, and His greatest commandment, love the Lord your God. I read that out of Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and all your strength. When He asked Peter after Peter's failure, and He said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, I love you, Jesus. He said, then feed my sheep. The great commandment and the great commission. Go and love. But Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Then go and feed my sheep. The great commandment and the great commission that He has called Peter to. And He calls us to when we say, yes, Lord, yes. Come, Holy Spirit, come. That genuine faith will inevitably be characterized by our love for God and our love for others, expressed by our actions. Genuine faith trusts God. Genuine faith will obey God. And our actions are the love we extend to others. As Paul says, faith alone, yes, faith alone. As James says, faith, and I don't want to say works, and I don't want to say deeds. I think it's better expressed by faith and love of others. I'd say yes. It all works together. It becomes a great message of the great commandment and the great commission that it works together for us in our world today. Because deeds do not define our faith. Our deeds, our love of others, express our faith. It is an outpouring of our love of God and our love of others. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.